This podcast is for educational purposes only, as well as to give you general information and a general understanding of the law, not to provide specific legal advice. By listening to this podcast, you understand that there is no attorney-client relationship between you and the host of the show. This podcast should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a licensed professional attorney in your state. Hello, and welcome to Business Wise with your host, John Estefanos. John is a licensed attorney in California, a real estate broker, and a serial entrepreneur. His goal is to educate and inspire business owners and entrepreneurs everywhere to achieve their dreams and set up their business to achieve the most success possible.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Business Wise. I'm your host, John. How is everyone doing? I hope you guys are all doing great. I am very excited to be here with you guys. I've had a busy week and I've been extremely busy at the office. I can't believe we are almost done with the month of February. And to me, that's just crazy. Time is flying by. Hope, again, you guys are great. I hope your week has been productive. I hope you guys are all doing well in your business ventures. So today, we are going to talk about 1031 exchanges. I've been getting a lot of people kind of asking me to do an episode about this. I will dive in it pretty deeply, but not too deep where I teach you everything. I believe that if you're going to do a 1031 exchange, and we'll talk about what it is and why we do it and all that, I really, really feel like you should consult with a CPA and your attorney. And preferably, you should consult with the CPA that has been doing the taxes and the accounting for that specific asset that you are putting in the 1031 exchange, only because they will, that CPA who's doing the work for it or has been doing the work for it will be very intimate with the asset, and he'll know exactly everything that's kind of going on with it. So, who am I talking to? I'm talking to those who own investment property and are thinking about selling it and buying another one. And if that's you, you should know about the 1031 tax deferred exchange. So basically, this is a procedure that allows the owner of an investment property to sell it and buy like-kind property while deferring the capital gains tax. So it's basically a vehicle that you use to avoid paying capital gains, because the IRS, the government, says if you bought commercial real estate or an investment property, period, and you are selling it and you make a gain, that gain is taxable, and it's usually taxed at a rate of 30-40%. It's a high rate, and nobody wants to pay it. But then they say, well, look, if you take that money and you roll it into a property, okay, then we won't charge you the tax on it. And a lot of people like that idea, and that's what a 1031 exchange is. So a 1031 exchange gets its name from Section 31 of the U.S. Internal Revenue Code, which allows you to avoid paying capital gains tax when you sell an investment property and reinvest the proceeds from the sale within certain limits and a property or properties of like kind and equal or greater value. And we'll kind of talk about these things just in a bit here. I'm kind of throwing out some terms that you need to be familiar with, because if you decide to do this, you need to be aware of some of these terms. The other term you need to be familiar with is a qualified intermediary, okay? And you need to kind of know what the role of that person or company is. And then under Section 1031, any proceeds from the sale of a property remain taxable. For that reason, proceeds from the sale must be transferred to a qualified intermediary rather than the seller of the property. So again, the qualified intermediary kind of facilitates this process. So it's a person or a company that agrees to facilitate the 1031 exchange by holding the funds involved in the transaction until they can be transferred to the seller of the replacement property. So you kind of sell your property, the money gets transferred to the qualified intermediary, you open escrow, or you have an escrow on the other property you are buying, which is your replacement property, and then the qualified intermediary pays the seller of your replacement property. Qualified intermediary can have no other formal relationship with the parties exchanging property. So this is kind of a neutral third party kind of, you could think of them as an escrow that kind of will facilitate the 1031 exchange. So when you hear that, you understand what it is. And if you're going to enter into a 1031 exchange, you have to put your hands on a qualified intermediary. The escrow company or title company you're working with should be able to assist. And again, when does someone need to do a 1031 exchange? As an investor, there are a number of reasons why, okay, you may consider a 1031 exchange. So I'm going to explain the reasons kind of why you might need this. You may be seeking a property that has a better return, okay? Or you may wish to diversify your assets. So, in other words, you have a property, but you see another property you like, you think it's better. So, therefore, you have to sell this property to buy the next property that you like. That's when you'd have to do a 1031 exchange. If you are the owner of an investment real estate, you might be looking for a managed property rather than managing one yourself. So in other words, you're kind of managing your own property, but you want to buy something a little bit bigger to have somebody else manage it for you. You would do that. You might want, someone wants to consolidate several properties into one for the purpose of estate planning, for example, or you might want to divide a single property into several assets, okay? Or a popular one is resetting the depreciation clock, and we'll talk more about that in a few seconds. The main benefit of carrying out a 1031 exchange rather than simply selling one property and buying another is the tax deferment. A 1031 exchange allows you to defer capital gains tax, thus freeing more capital for your investment in the replacement property. I think we kind of talked about why you do it. I want to, and how you kind of do it. And, I want to talk a little bit more about the idea of depreciation. Again, you really need to talk to your CPA and or accountant about depreciation. They will tell you a little bit more. I'm going to tell you basics. So what is depreciation and why is it important to a 1031 exchange? Depreciation is an essential concept for understanding the true benefits of a 1031 exchange. Depreciation is the percentage of the cost of an investment property that is written off every year, recognizing the effects of wear and tear. When a property is sold, the capital gain taxes are then calculated based on the property's net adjusted basis, which reflects the property's original purchase price plus capital gains improvement minus depreciation. So look, you depreciate, I believe, commercial real estate over 39 years. Every year you're writing some off and you're appreciating land and improvements, okay, made to to this property. And the idea is that when you come sell, okay, you have to give back that depreciation. So in other words, the IRS was giving it to you every year to benefit from, but when you come sell, then they're going to say, look, we give you 8 years of depreciation, okay? That kind of actually hurts because it's 8 years of depreciation. What if you held on for 25 years? It's going to even hurt more because it's that many years of depreciation I have to give you back. So a lot of people, once they reach about 5 or 6 years of taking depreciation, they'll reset the clock again. They'll sell the asset so that now they can buy another one so they can start with year one of depreciating the property. And once they get to 5 or 6 years, they sell it again and do the same thing all over again. So if you bought a property for, you know, $1 million, you divide the amount of years you can depreciate a commercial property into the $1 million, and each year you take a little bit, and it helps out to save you for tax savings. But when you come sell it, if you've benefited by, let's say, $100,000 worth of depreciation, you got to give it back. And that's kind of the idea of depreciation. And that's what I mean by some people do 1031 exchanges to reset the depreciation clock. And that's kind of all you need to know on depreciation, because again, your accountant, CPA, should tell you more, will tell you more, and will know probably more than I do about depreciation. So the other thing I want to talk about is choosing a replacement property and the timing and the rules. And we always hear like kind property and all that good stuff. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Like kind property is defined according to its nature or characteristic, not its quality or grade. This means that there is a broad range of exchangeable real estate properties. So some people think like kind property means you have to go out and find almost the similar, a very exact similar type of property. That's not true. So it's like vacant land can be exchanged for a commercial building. Some people think, no, if I have a building, I have to buy another building. Or for example, industrial property can be exchanged for residential. That's kind of what the like kind property is. And some people take that to be literal. Examples for things you can't exchange. What would not be like kind? Real estate for artwork, let's say. All right. I know it sounds crazy, but that's the only thing I can think of. That would not be like kind property. So again, when you hear like kind, that can mean you're selling an office building to buy a vacant lot. You're selling a commercial shopping center to buy an office building. That's what like kind is. The property must be held for investment, though, not real resale or personal use. To receive the full benefit of a 1031 exchange, your replacement property should be equal or greater value, okay? And I want to talk about some of the timing rules. You must identify a replacement property for the asset sold within 45 days and conclude the exchange within 180. Those are two very important numbers that everyone needs to remember, 45 and 180. Identify it in 48, okay? And close in 180. And then there are three rules that can be applied to define a property. And you need to meet one of the following. The three property rule allows you to identify three properties as potential purchases regardless of their market value. Okay, so you can give the qualified intermediary the three properties and you must actually close on one of them. The other one is the 200% rule allows you to identify unlimited replacement properties as long as their cumulative value does not exceed 200% of the value of the property sold. So this allows you to pick unlimited amounts of replacement properties, but you have to, you have to follow that 200% rule. And then there's another one, the 95% rule, allows you to identify as many properties as you'd like as long as you acquire properties valued at 90% of their total or more. So that's kind of some of the things you have to keep in mind. A lot of people, a lot of the 1031 exchanges I've ever been involved with have been where people do the three property rule. And that is, we find three replacement properties, we make sure they're available, we give these three replacement properties, we make sure they're available and they will qualify within our scenario. And then we make sure we give those to the qualified intermediary. And then after that, we close on one of these properties. I think I'm going to stop here. You have about 90% of what you need to know about 1031 exchanges. Today I kind of shared with you who needs to do it, how you need to do it. We discussed qualified intermediaries. We discussed the reasons why people do 1031 exchange. We discussed like-kind property. We talked about some of the timing and rules and that are involved with a 1031 exchange. And, bottom line, again, my episodes are meant to get you very, very close. They are not a substitute to competent legal advice, competent advice from a CPA, from your accountant. So don't use these episodes as replacements to all these people, but use them as a way to get educated and get caught up to speed on a lot of the topics that affect you and your business. And I know while real estate is, not a conventional business, I do consider landowners to be business owners. Because I do believe that sometimes, or I should say property owners and landlords to be business owners, because owning a property and or a building, a land, whatever the case may be, is kind of like owning your own business almost like owning your own business. So that's why sometimes I talk about, I talk to landlords and people that own real estate. I consider them and I as business owners. So, and I've been getting a lot of people that are asking me to talk about 1031 exchanges what they are. So this is very, very complicated, by the way. Again, do not just listen to my episode and think you got this. It's very, very complicated. It's unique to your property. You have to look at the property. You have to look at the tax returns for that property. You have to. There's a lot of things that go into it that I won't even, go into very deep. But your basis, what you have in this property, what have you taken out of it? What did this property really cost you? So again, very, very complicated. So I really, really suggest if you're going to do a 1031 exchange, you get a hold of a CPA and an attorney immediately, and you let those people assist you, because if you do it wrong, the consequences are severe and you could pay a lot of taxes. Well, I think this is it for today. Again, excited to be here and to talk to you guys. Look forward to talking to you guys in our next episode. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe and rate. Follow me on Instagram @BusinessWise. podcast and let me know any topics you would like discussed.
This podcast is for educational purposes only, as well as to give you general information and a general understanding of the law, not to provide specific legal advice. By listening to this podcast, you understand that there is no attorney-client relationship between you and the host of the show. This podcast should not be used as a substitute for competent legal advice from a licensed professional attorney in your state.